Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hallelujah. Well, we're growing, aren't we? We're growing from faith to faith, glory to glory. And this faith life is a journey. Right? If we go from faith to faith, that would mean faith is a journey. It's a moving from one level of faith to the next level of faith. And so we are a work in progress. We are growing. And that's good news. That's good news. So we're learning as we're going. God's teaching us things. And we're growing. We're growing stronger in our faith. We're growing better in our obedience to God and knowing Him and following His plan for our life. And really, that's normal. That's how it's supposed to be. Nobody is born again, comes into the kingdom of God and knows everything and just begins to walk perfectly. But we can, through faith and patience, grow and develop and get to the place where we are walking perfectly. Because as we've already covered in this series on the perfecting of the patriarchs, we see in the New Testament, scripture after scripture, that tells us that we are to go on to perfection. We are to be made perfect. Perfect in our faith. Perfect in our obedience. And of course, when we're walking in love, the love of God, we are walking perfect. So we can be perfect. Even as our Father in heaven is perfect, which is what Jesus said over in Matthew, the 6th chapter. We can be perfect, but it is a work in progress. So we have to be patient with ourselves as we're reaching for perfection. Now, there's a lot of folks, in Christendom that they're not even reaching for perfection. That isn't even on the radar. I mean, we're old sinners, man. And we're always just going to be old sinners, and we're just little worms and all these things. So it's not even on their radar, and that's completely wrong. And then there's those that are believing for perfection, but every time they stumble and fall, they just feel overwhelmed by it, and they don't feel like they can ever, ever be what God has predestined them in Christ Jesus to be. That they'll never be able to live up to these great men and women of faith that they see in the Bible. They can never attain to that kind of level of relationship with God. And it's completely wrong. Because we can grow. And furthermore, we can outdo those of old. We can go even further than they have gone. But we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And if you look over here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 11, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So notice, he says, don't grow sluggish. Don't become spiritually lazy. That's what he's talking about there. Don't become lazy concerning spiritual things, concerning laying hold of and walking in the promises of God, or walking in the fullness of the blessing of the Word of God. He said, don't become lazy. Now, it's very interesting. We're talking about spiritual laziness. Many times there are people that could be extremely, extremely diligent when it comes to natural things. When it comes to business, when it comes to making money, when it comes to, family, when it be vacation, when it comes to natural things. Very, very, very diligent, but yet some of those very same people, when it comes to spiritual things, have absolutely no energy at all to go and sit through an entire church service and read the Bible. And, I mean, it's exhausting just talking about it. You know, they just get worn out thinking about spiritual things, you know. So just because we might be diligent with natural things, that we cannot commend ourselves yet. We have to make sure that we are being diligent when it comes to spiritual things. That we're not spiritually lazy. That we are spiritually diligent, aggressive, and we do the things that are in our heart to do. And when God tells us to do something, we do it. We don't drag our feet and shuffle along and we're sluggish, but Charlie over here tells us to do something, we just jump, we're right there. Charlie loves us because we do exactly what Charlie asks us to do whenever he asks us to do it, you know. I mean, we're on it. When man calls, here we come. Huh? When the flesh calls, here we go. I mean, we obey. When it comes to that paycheck, we obey. But when it comes to God and him telling us to do some things, him calling us to do some things. I think I heard God tell me to do something. I'm not sure. We're very slow to hear and move upon what God is asking us to do. Okay? Now, this is not a good thing. That's a very bad thing. Because the most important thing in life, most important things in life are spiritual. Most important things in life are spiritual. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other natural things. Man, they'll be added on to you. He said, be diligent, number one, with spiritual things. And the truth of the matter is, if we are diligent with spiritual things, we'll be diligent with natural things. I mean, it's an overflow. So if we're diligent, if we're really focused on making sure that we're not lazy spiritually, but we're diligent spiritually, we'll be diligent in every area of our life. However, we can make sure that we're very diligent in natural things and yet be lazy in spiritual things. Because being diligent in natural things will not overflow into the spirit. That doesn't overflow into the spirit. So your spirit can remain very disconnected from what you're doing in life. And everything you could be doing in life is just out of the flesh. All right? And that's not a good thing. We know that because we're spirit beings, number one. The real us is a spirit. So we're never going to be fulfilled. We're never going to be satisfied by living out of our flesh. We want to live out of our spirit. So the Bible says that by faith and patience, notice that, verse 12, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So number one, we're not going to be sluggish spiritually. Say, I will not be sluggish spiritually. You know, that goes back to the why God, why? Well, go find out. A lot of people just go ahead and whine about stuff rather than go ahead and find the answers by seeking God, drawing near to God, get in his word, find out. Don't be satisfied. I just don't know. If it be his will, I don't know why. Well, go find out. Get in the word of God. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what's going on here. God will teach you. God will help you. If things are not going right, he'll show you what to do to get around it, to fix it. Right? But we got to be diligent. So we're not going to be spiritually sluggish, but we're going to what? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, thank God there's people around us that are going for it. And they're being spiritually diligent, and they're laying a hold of God. They're laying a hold of the promises of God. They're laying hold of the things that God has said belongs to them. Right? They're doing it. Thank God for that example. But first and foremost, we've got the example of those right here in the Word. Right? And he says to imitate them. And so we've been looking at the different patriarchs in the Old Testament who have laid hold of the promises of God, who through their great faith carried out great exploits and received the things that God had promised them. But it wasn't just faith, it was faith and patience. It was faith and patience. They patiently endured. Notice this here. He goes on in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, you know what's exciting about that? That Galatians chapter 3 tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, curses is he, everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's you and I. You and I are in Christ Jesus. And God wants the blessing of Abraham to come upon our life. So everything that God promised Abraham, God promises you and I. And Abraham is referred to as the father of our faith. So he's a great example to look at and a great example to follow after. We're to follow in the footstep of his faith, of his patience, and lay hold of the same promises. What promises? Well, he said right here, for one, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. God wants to, with blessings, he wants to bless you. He wants you blessed and blessed and blessed some more. And he wants to multiply you. He wants you to be effective. He wants you to be fruitful in life. He wants to multiply your faith in Christ Jesus. He wants who you are to be multiplied in other people. Just like you're a new creation, through you others can become new creations. Right? Just like you're a faith junkie, others can become faith junkies through you. You become an example to others. You can begin to impart the life of God that you have into others and thus duplicate, multiply yourself. And of course, not you doing it. It's God doing it through you. So God has got great ideas about you. He's got great and lofty plans for your life. And they're bigger than you. And a lot of times you start talking like this, people go, He ain't talking to me. No, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. And he can make it happen. I said he can make it happen. Amen. He just needs our faith and our patience. And we see Abraham is a great example of a man who he started out a lot like many of you and I, many of us have started out. Idolaters. Worshiping false gods, idol worshipers. You know, the Bible says that if you're covetous, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. So if you've ever walked in covetousness, you're an idol worshiper. And of course, before we knew the Lord Jesus, we were idol worshipers, serving other gods, serving the God of this world, for one. And all the gods of this world, which are demons. And that's where Abraham started out. So he wasn't born in a Christian family. He was born, his family worshipped other gods. And so he didn't start out that great, but he finished great, didn't he? See? And so we got to remember, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. It's how we finish. And so, you know, you can look at that in two ways. If you've started out great, if things are going real well, you got to watch about patting yourself on the back prematurely and becoming satisfied with your successes, because we're not done yet. We got to have endurance. We got to go all the way to the end, right? So there's more to do. There's a lot of people that started out well but then failed to finish. They failed to finish. We're going to finish, right? And there's those that started out real poorly, real poorly. And they've struggled and they've staggered and they've had troubles following God and just staying in the boat doing the right thing. But bless God, they stayed in the boat. They just stayed in the boat, hallelujah. It was rough, it was tough, but they got to the other side and they ended a great success. Hallelujah. So they started out not so good, but they ended strong. So whether we started good or we started poor, and regardless where we are right now, we're not done yet. Right? It ain't over till it's over. So we're going to keep pressing, and we're going to keep reaching, and we're going to finish strong. We're going to finish like Abraham. Praise God. Be in the hall of fame of faith. Praise God, praised by God over in eternity for our yieldedness to him. Be commended before God. Can you say amen? Amen. So, you know, we know the story in quick review. We've been looking at Abraham's life, and we've been seeing that, you know, again, he didn't start out that great. When God did tell him to come out of his own hometown, he delayed to obey. He did not obey God right away. And then when he finally did obey, he did it very reluctantly. The Bible says he wandered from his home to go out to where God told him to go. So he was a bit double-minded. He was unsure, very hesitant as he didn't go out confidently, in other words. Have you ever done what God told you to do, but you just didn't know if you were supposed to be doing it? I mean, you had doubts about it? Huh? Reminds me of the gentleman that came to Jesus and his son was, you know, being tossed around by a demon and he was foaming out at the mouth and he cried out to Jesus and he said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." I believe. Because remember, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You can believe for your son to be delivered. He'll believe all things are possible to him that believes. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, he's got this faith in his heart, but he's got all this doubt going on in his mind. He's got all this worry, all this anxiety and fear bombarding his mind. Can anybody relate to that one? Where you know, man, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're pressing, you're reaching, you're believing. But man, doubt, unbelief, everything, questions and all kinds of things try to make you feel insecure, try to make you feel like you shouldn't be doing this or you're doing it wrong or you look terrible. You're making more of a mess of things. Huh? But you just kept trying going. Your mind, you just kept going, smiling. You just kept going. You just kept doing it. You just kept pressing through it. That's how Abraham obeyed God the first time out. That's how he obeyed God. So, in other words, we're in good company. You're in good company. These men struggled. These great people struggled. So struggling is not a problem. These folks can relate to you. If Abraham was here today and you were able to share your heart with him, in many things he'd look at you, "I know exactly what you're talking about. Just stay in the boat. Trust me. Just do it afraid. Do it nervous. Do it doubting." Because you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. But don't let that doubt in your head talk you out of following your heart. Because the more you follow your heart, your head's going to start getting it. Your mind's going to start getting renewed. Your mind's going to start catching up to this thing. Now, your mind might never be perfect. You understand? I mean, your mind, it's subject to this world. And many times your mind can pick up frequencies that are really crazy. Not good stuff. There's a lot of stuff in the airwaves around us. And our minds can pick up on things. There's demons, you know. But just like I told a guy the other night, you know, because he said, you know, he's afraid of these thoughts that he's been having. And I said, "Listen," I said, "you can't stop the birds from flying over your head. But you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You can do that. Now, you can't stop all the thoughts. You can't stop all the unbelief and negativity and the stuff that's contrary to Christ, contrary to you, contrary to your heart. You can't stop it, but you can stop it from resting in your head. You can speak to it. You can cast it down. You can speak the word contrary to it. Right? I mean, I've shared with you. I've had the devil come along and just all of a sudden these thoughts and feelings come on me. I just want to quit the ministry. And I don't. I never have. But that's the devil. It was his thought, his feelings. I just want to quit the ministry. And you feel like it. And you want to say it. You just want to tell everybody, I want to quit the ministry. I don't know why, but I just do. I mean, it just comes so strong. But it's the devil. I know it's the devil. So I've just used it as an occasion to declare my faith and just fortify my faith. And I've spoken right up, said, I'm so glad, Mr. Devil, you said that. And this has happened more than one occasion. I'm so glad, Mr. Devil, you said that. I said, because now I'm going to declare that I'm going to run my race and fulfill every phase of the ministry God has called me to. And I'm going to run my race with joy. And then I just start having a party, praise God. And I make the devil regret that he ever tried to put that thought in my mind. He put that thought in my mind to get me to speak it out of my mouth so he could set things in motion in my life to defeat me. And so I just did just the opposite. I spoke my faith, declared the word of God, and I allowed the Holy Spirit to work and set some things in motion or to accelerate some things that are already in motion. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? So thoughts come, but so many times people just embrace them as their thoughts. Why am I thinking like this? Because there's a devil in the world. Cast it down. Cast it out. Tell them quiet. The best thing to do is just speak the opposite. Whatever negative things are coming, what are you going to do about the debt? What are you going to do about the debt? I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that I have need of. They're going to be added unto me. The devil's like, that's not what I wanted to hear. Take it as an occasion, man. Take it as an occasion. That's what Jesus did. Every time the devil came to him and threw a temptation at him, Jesus would say, it is written. He just speak the word. Just speak the word. And that's what you and I need to do. Speak the word of God. So Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He had doubt in his head. He knew he had to obey his heart. He was doing what he knew to do in his heart, but he had all this doubt and double-mindedness going on. But thank God, he just continued to go. And of course, as he continued to go, he was being purified in his soul of all the fear, of all the anxiety, of all the double-mindedness, and his faith was growing. His faith was growing. His faith was growing. His obedience to God was growing. Because remember, faith and obedience are synonymous. Faith and obedience are one and the same. To obey God is to believe God. To disobey God is to disbelieve God. You can't be in faith and disobedience. All right? And you can't be in obedience and be in unbelief. So they're the same. So as our faith is growing, our obedience is growing. Our obedience is growing. We're becoming more pure in our obedience. And of course, again, another thing Abraham did after he did go out, he brought Lot with him, his nephew, which that was, again, a compromising of his obedience. He brought Lot into the mix after the Lord had said, leave your family, leave your kindred. And Lot was his nephew. And so Lot was never supposed to be a part of that plan, but he made Lot a part of the plan. So you see, his obedience was impure. And so, but thank God, as time went on, he was purified in his obedience to God. And then we saw how, after he finally went out, got into the place that God had for him, then he ran out of the place that God had for him because times got tough. There was a famine in the land. And God never told him to leave. God said, I'm going to bless you in this place. I'm going to do all these great things in this place. But he saw famine, and so he fled. and he fled for Egypt. And of course, that opened the door for more problems in his life, because again, he was contaminating the plan of God for his life. His flesh was contaminating it, creating problems for him. But, as we just read in Hebrews 6, he patiently endured. And patiently endured, in the Greek, it means have long patience. Suffer long. Not to lose heart. But notice, suffer long. He suffered long. You know, there was a lot of things that he did that caused his own suffering. Is there anything that you think maybe you have done to create your own problems, to create your own suffering? Yeah, and Abraham did too. That's encouraging, because we know how he ends. So we know how you're going to end. We don't have to get uptight about the fact that we've made mistakes and made mistakes and littered our path and made things more difficult for ourselves. We've created suffering for ourselves. Abraham did, but you know what? He suffered long. He suffered, in other words, through it. In other words, he didn't allow that to make him quit and give up. Even the self-inflicted wounds that he brought upon himself and his family, he didn't allow that to discourage him and cause him to quit. He probably woke up in the morning and said, "It ain't over till it's over. We're not done yet." And so he had hope, high hopes, every day, right? And so you and I have hope. If he can suffer long, we can suffer long. I've been suffering so long. So did Abraham. But I've done it to myself. So did Abraham. He's your father. He's the father of your faith. He's your example. Keep on keeping on. Don't lose heart. Don't give in. Don't grow impatient with yourself. See, it's not just about being patient with others and being patient with life. We've got to be patient with ourselves because we are a work in progress. So don't take yourself so serious. Some of you are so miserable because you take yourself so serious. You just take yourself so, everything you say, everything you do, you're just so on top of yourself. Don't take yourself so serious. Understand, you're a work in progress. Now, I'm not saying allow sin to remain in your life. I'm not saying that. You know, we judge sin, but we're confident in God's mercy. We don't focus on the sin. And we understand, we're learning, we're growing, right? We're getting this thing. So we just lighten up. Lighten up. You know, I said, "Lord, forgive me for that." God isn't like falling off his throne. That's comforting to me. God's not like, "I can't stand what he's doing." If God can endure some of the stuff that's going on out there right now, I must be a dream to him. I'm a piece of cake. Come on. I'm a piece of cake. I didn't say it's perfect yet, but I'm a piece of cake in comparison to a lot that's going on out there. And he's enduring, isn't he? If he can handle that, he can handle you. You little Wednesday night, loving God in church, squeaky Christian. He can endure you. Stop beating yourself up. Lighten up, praise God, you're going up. Somebody say, "Lighten up, you're going up." We're going up, man. Going up. Going up. Hallelujah. We're growing. We're growing and flowing and we're going. We're going to get this thing. Let's just enjoy life. Let's enjoy ourselves. Huh? Because God knew what he was getting when he got you. He knew. He knew all of it. He knew all of it. So take it. Just praise God. And just enjoy yourself. Enjoy who you are. Amen. Enjoy who you are with all your issues. Right? Because we know you got some issues. But enjoy you. Enjoy you. Enjoy your life now, knowing where you're headed, knowing where you're going, knowing you're on the road. Oop, we hit a bump. Don't get depressed. Right? Oh, this doesn't feel good. This is hot. This is difficult. Smile. We're going through. Come on, lighten up. Come on, God's for us. God's working with us. We're getting this thing. You don't know everything, but you know what you need to know when you need to know it. So just keep working through the thing. And just know that everything you're working through, all the tough stuff and the stupid stuff, you're getting stronger. You're getting wiser. You're learning to grow in faith and obedience to God. You're getting pure. We're going on to perfection, man. We're going on to it. Even the Apostle Paul said, not that I've already attained. He's saying, I didn't attain it yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to that which is ahead. That's what we're doing. Forget it. Come on. Stop making it be like the end of the world. I messed up. I can't believe it. I got out of the will of God. Were you in it now? I don't know. Well, just do what you know to do. What do you know to do? I don't know. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Okay, praise God. Let's thank him right now. You got something. You got something there. Let's build on that. Do you know to praise him? Yeah. Do it. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Just do the little bit. He's the big God. You're not. You're the little thing. Doing the little things. And he's making big things out of your little things. Come on. He's doing a big work in us. Praise God. So just do the little, do what you know to do. Praise God. Lighten up. Lighten up. You know, I think that's why people, they can't be nice to other people. Their patience and endurance for other people is so short because they don't have any patience with themselves. They're so frustrated and upset with themselves half the time. You know, they're walking around just hanging in there. Because life is so heavy, you know, it's just so hard. And they're just so mad at themselves for so many things that when you do something wrong, it's like, you just push them over the edge. You are the needle that broke the camel's back. You're a little needle, and people go, get out of the house, I hate you. What did I do, my Jesus? Little needle. All took because they're so stressed with themselves. Lighten up. Can we cast that off right now? Just do this. Praise God. Lighten up. Praise God. God knew what he was getting into when he got me. He knows I'm a work in progress. He just wants me to stay in the boat. He'll get me to the other side. I just got to sit down. Am I in the... Are you in the boat? Yes. Okay, calm down. The boat's getting you there. The boat is getting you there. You're in Christ. You're going to get there. Keep your focus on Christ. We're on the way to greater and greater things. Hallelujah. So, Abraham, he compromised his obedience. He left where God had told him to go because times got tough. He went down to Egypt, caused more problems for himself, caused some marital problems at that time. And then later on, we'll see some more marital problems sprung up. And then over here where we are now is Genesis chapter 13. Well, we'll pick up here in verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. So he's getting back to where he never should have left. Thank God you can get back to where you never should have left. Isn't God good? Verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram. You know, it says that many times. And Lot also went with him. Letting us know, Lot was never supposed to go with him. He was an also. But it was not, that was not part of the plan of God. All right? He's just an also. How many alsos are we carrying around? I didn't say ulcers. People do have ulcers from their alsos. An also could create an ulcer, but almost did for Abraham. Verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Now, of course, Canaanites and Perizzites are like parasites, but they're like into demons. They're a type of demons. And so strife isn't good. Strife isn't good. When there's strife going on, the devil would try to get in the middle. The Canaanites and the Perizzites will try to show up wherever there is strife. Because James tells us, chapter 3, I believe, it says that where there's self-seeking, where self-seeking exists, there'll be confusion and every evil thing will be there. And of course, where there's strife, there's self-seeking. And so there's confusion and every evil thing will be there. The Canaanites and Perizzites are a part of those evil things that are there. Verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. So we know that the strife was not just with the herdsmen. There was strife coming into the house. There was strife between Abram and Lot. And though Lot may not be directly arguing with Abram, he is doing it through his herdsmen. He's doing it through his workers. He's doing it through others. And he's undermining Abram. And he's resisting what Abraham's herdsmen might want. And Lot is a part of that. He's a part of creating this tension, creating this strife in the family. And so Abram says, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. Separate from me. Now remember, Abram took Lot on as his own son. It was his nephew, his brother's son, but his brother had died. And so Abram took Lot under his wing. And so he was very close to him. So no doubt this is very difficult for Abram. This is like separating from his own son. Telling his own son, you need to go. You need to leave. You need to move out. And back then they didn't have text messaging. They didn't have email. They didn't have FaceTime. They didn't have any of these things. So when you left, you left. And we didn't hear from you. We didn't know what you were doing. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if you were doing well, if you were in trouble, if you were hurting. We didn't know. They didn't know. So this is tough, but Lot had to go. Verse 9, Abram says, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east and they separated from each other. Now, you see the foolishness of Lot here. Lot is a very, very prosperous man. But Lot is a very, very prosperous man because of his connection to a man who has faith in God, to a man who is walking with God. And we know, we don't have time to get into it, but we know as we look ahead in the story that this very rich, wealthy man, prosperous man, Lot, when he did separate from Abram, his faith connection, he withered and was found destitute and hiding up in the caves in the mountains. That's where he ends. That's where the story of Lot ends. He's in a cave with nothing. With nothing. Why? Because he didn't esteem, respect, and honor his faith connection. Friend, you need to honor and esteem this faith connection that you have called the local church. You need to thank God that you can get in the company of people of like precious faith. So many foolish, fleshy Christians. And Lot would be considered a Christian because 2 Peter refers to him as a righteous man. Over in 2 Peter, he's referred to as a righteous man. But even though he was righteous through his faith in the God of Abraham, he was a carnal righteous man. He lived more out of his senses, out of his flesh, and he was dishonorable and disrespectful to his elders, to his spiritual elder, Abram. And that disrespect, that dishonor, that not esteeming and recognizing who got him where he was caused him to lose everything he had. Everything he had. So we need to learn from this. We need to look at Lot. Make sure that we're not a bunch of Lots. Lot went, and the Bible says in verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Where are you pitching your tent? Or what is near your tent? Or what are you allowing to get in your tent? There's a lot of folks that they hang around by the wicked. They're entertained by the wicked. They're educated by the wicked. And that's where Lot was drawn to us. He pulled away from faith. He pulled away from a man that worshiped. He pulled away from the altars that Abraham had built. And he despised Abraham, treated him with contempt, treated him wrong, began to think he was something in and of himself. Abraham understood that all that he had was the result of God. He knew he didn't do these things on his own. He knew it because it was his relationship with God, his faith in God. Lot should have recognized it was faith in God through Abram. But he didn't. He began to think it was all of himself. And so we know that pride goes before a fall. And so that's what happened to him. He despised and he didn't esteem his faith connection, but he began to look over here and pitched his tent near the wicked. Near the wicked. We got to watch about playing around by the wicked. You play around by a slippery, slimy riverbank, and you're going to go in. All right? So we don't want to go into the slippery, slimy riverbanks of the wicked and make more trouble for ourselves. Cause more problems for ourselves. So he says, but notice, Abram says to Lot, because Abram has such confidence in God. Abram's not defending himself. He's not thinking, this is my territory, my land. You can, and he's not, because he knows he didn't get it all in his own strength. He knew God was taking care of him. So he didn't have to sit there and fight and get into strife with Lot about it. He's like, man, you guys need to stop fighting. I don't want to fight with you. And he says to him, listen, you decide what land you want. The whole land is before you, please. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes, and Lot decided what he wanted. But you know what's really amazing? Remember, Abram said, lift up your eyes and look. Abram said to Lot, lift up your eyes. Look. You choose right, left, right, whatever you want. You just take it. So Lot lifted his eyes. He chose what he wanted. He thought this was the best. And so he went that direction. And he separated from Abram. And so now that thing that was causing Abram's faith to be impure, that impure, partial obedience to God, was now purified out of the plan. Was filtered out of the plan of God. Lot. Filtered out of the plan of God. Watch what happens then. Verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. So his separation was very significant. After Lot separated from him, lift your eyes now. And look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, left, right, left. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. So here, Lot's like, what land will I take? It didn't matter what he chose, because the man that obeys God gets it all. Huh? You don't have to try to save your life. I mean, this did not look like a good deal. He said, Lot, whatever you want. Lot chose the best. Lot moves over there. Abraham has to stay over here. And God says, no, I decide what you're going to get, because I'm the Godfather. Well, he is, isn't he? Hallelujah. This separation from Lot opened the way for more of the blessing of God to flow. Lot wasn't going to have it, even though Abram offered it all to him. Lot wasn't going to get it. Abraham was going to get it. The man of faith was going to get it. And then notice verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Because again, what does the altar represent? Sacrifice. What does the tree represent? The cross of suffering, laying your life down, obeying God, doing the will of God. Not my will, but your will be done. It's that crucified life, crucified flesh, dying to yourself. More of Abraham just died. That's what this is showing us. When Lot separated from him, something in him died. Something in him died. But when something in you dies that's just of you, then it makes room for something of God to live that didn't have room to live before. Amen? And sometimes that's a tough part about it. We want more room for God, don't we? But in order to have more of God living in us, then more of us has to die. And that's the tough part. That's the suffering. That laying down, that thing that's so a part of you, it's you. It's got to die. So that it's no longer you that's there anymore, taking up that residence, taking up that space. But it's Christ. It's Christ that's living and expressing his life in you now. The exciting thing is Christ having more room in us to be formed in us. Him taking more form in us. Him getting more place in us. Him taking up more residence in us. Getting more room in and through us. That's the exciting part, but so many people don't have much of that because they're not willing to let go of Lot, to let go of their plan, to let go of their alsos, to let go of their desires, let go of their wants, and really obey God. But he obeyed, he went out, and he brought Lot with him. He disobeyed, got out of the plan, but then he got back in the plan. And then it was time for Lot to go. It was time for him to go. He had grown. He didn't just grow. Abraham didn't just grow very rich in livestock and silver and gold so that the land could not contain him. He had grown spiritually. More of him had to go because he was getting so big on the inside. It was pushing. Come on. It was pushing Lot out. It was pushing impurities out. It was pushing strife out. It was pushing unbelief and disobedience. It was pushing out a dependence upon others, a dependence on the flesh. It was pushing out other people's views and opinions. It was pushing all those out because he was growing. And Lot was getting pushed out. But at that point, he could have decided, no, not Lot. Not Lot. No, that's too much. That's too much. And he could have stopped right there. And you see people, they're going along, and they're getting victories, and they're suffering through in the flesh, and they grow, and then they hit this thing, and they allow it to become a spiritual ceiling on their life. And they say, I can't give that up. I can't. That's as far as I could go. I've done all these things from my youth. But yeah, this one thing still you lack. This one thing you still lack. And if you'll just let go of that, man, it'll make room. It'll make room for more of God. But the rich young ruler, you remember him? He didn't make room. Rich young ruler. He's done all these things from his youth. But he stopped growing that day. He walked away very sorrowful. Now, we don't know if we ever got it turned around, but that's how it ends in the Bible for him. I want to keep going, don't you? Have we suffered so many things in vain? Huh? In other words, any suffering that we've done in the past, it's all vain if we're not going to finish. Don't let it all be vain. Don't let it all be in vain. Let's go on and finish what God has called us to do. Come on. Let's go on and finish. And sometimes Lot's got to get squeezed out of there. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And so we see again, there's the terebinth, there's the altar, and a part of Abraham died right there. Hallelujah. And the journey continues. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to finish this thing. Praise God, just like Abraham. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.